Die groot trek saam Dopie Nina weksdae tussen 3 en 6.
So met passion wat hierdie naweek gebeur by Loftus, is dit 'n groot voorreg. Hulle is vriende van die show. Ons het al 'n paar keer met Demi gesels. Demi en Tim Tebow are with us via Zoom. So thank you so much guys for taking time to chat to us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
It's so good to see you, Dipi and Nina. Thank you for having us. I'll stick to the English just for the conversation's sake.
100%. We'll try and do that as well. But if our airtime does run out a little bit later, don't stress. We'll top it up and we'll make sure that Tim understands all the questions as well.
I'll just respond with lekker. I love it.
We've been chatting about it on air, and especially it being the start of the year. One of the big things, especially after the elections of last year and what's happening in Pretoria specifically, is I think people, they need to be uplifted a little bit. And there's a lot of worry if we look at the fires in Los Angeles and stuff happening all around the world. The wars in the Ukraine. And it feels like so much of the world is falling apart and people do get discouraged quite easily. You guys seem to have a formula that works and staying positive, just inspiring other people.
Bringing light.
What is that magic sauce to stay positive when everything around you seems like it's really bad?
Well, I don't know that it's magic sauce. I think it's real hope on something bigger than yourself, something that is constant, something that is a promise, something that is trustworthy. And I think that's the promises of God. You mentioned some of the struggles and fears and heartbreak around the country and around the world. And we were actually a block and a half away at the hotel we were staying in New Orleans when that terrorist attack happened. And I was actually in Los Angeles doing some filming when some of the fires were taking place, and have a lot of friends affected by it. And there's just a lot of people that are hurting around the world. And I think one of the things we're so excited about with the Passion Conference, it is the hope that it brings, in the promises of God, the hope that it brings that there is something bigger than just what you're going through right now. And there is something that you can trust, and there is something that is constant. And there is a reason to be positive, not just being positive for positive sakes, but a promise, something that you can hold on to, something that is, you know, when we use hope a lot, we use it like, I hope our team's going to win, or we hope the Springbok win, right? But that's just like flipping a coin and hoping that it lands on heads. But that's not the hope that we talk about when we talk about the good news of the gospel and the hope that we have in the promises of God. Those hopes are constant. Those hopes are something we can hold on to and trust, because he's trustworthy with it. And so we just really believe that this conference are believing that it will be something that people can hold on to, that hope.
And, you know, I just say, when you break down the word confidence, it really means to have full trust. And there's been so many moments in my life. Yes, we're dealing with a lot of external factors in the world, but, you know, that internal factor where you're struggling to really understand that worth, that value, when your just whole world has been shaken. And then a lot of times in those moments is when I relied on my own self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And you know, really what that means is that I relied, that I had full trust in my abilities, capabilities for things to go well. But life circumstances don't necessarily always go that way. Usually it sends us on a roller coaster of emotions, right? That's ups and downs. And the problem is when I have full trust, full confidence in myself, it's usually when I have rooted my confidence in something that's temporary, something that was never meant to be everlasting, something that's not trustworthy, fixed, or rooted in God's truths. And so I have had to really go and evaluate, especially in moments where I have felt rattled in my life, where I felt insecure, unsure, you know, where do I truly get to root my confidence in, where it won't be shaken? What is my confidence rooted in that is trust, always trustworthy, always fixed and never changing? And for me personally, I can't give you another answer than my faith and the faith that I get to have in my Savior, who is not just a promise maker, but a promise keeper.
Tim and Demi, in both your careers, you as a football player and you in the beauty industry, you've always stood for God. Was it difficult sometimes to stand and stand with your values and almost like a worldly career?
Yeah, I don't know if I always stood. I think sometimes I stood up, sometimes I fell down, sometimes I slipped, sometimes I got back up. And I think just kind of tried to do it imperfectly. But the one thing that was perfect is his love for me, his love for us, his love for humanity. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that Christianity isn't a museum for good people, but it's a hospital for the broken. It's in Christianity, it isn't about how good we are. It's about how perfect he was for us. And so I you know, we try to stand for what's right and things we believe in, but we do that very imperfectly and with a lot of flaws, and we mess up and try to get back up. And we're just grateful. He loves us even, you know, in our failures, in our mess ups, when we fall down, we get back up and we try to keep going. And I'm just so grateful for that. So in a roller coaster world, we're just grateful that he loves us in the highs and the lows.
I think, Tim, that there's so much power in that, owning up to failures and not trying to be perfect, because people can connect with that. They can't connect to someone who's perfect other than Jesus. But if you show your journey and you know, through your faults and through your mistakes, people can see that it is, like you say, a hospital for the broken. That's very powerful.
I really believe that, because none of us are perfect and we all fall short. And so, you know, when you're able to show that, you know, I think one, you know, we're told in scripture that his strength is shown in our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And when we fall short, he doesn't. And it's not just relatable. I think it's honest, and it's something that we, you know, we live in a society that so many times we want to show our best, right? If you look at Instagram, if you look at TikTok, people don't show the worst photo of the day. They show their best photo of the day. That's why filters are so popular, because they want to get the perfect light, the perfect angle. You know, they want to show perfect. And so what we do is we look at other people's best moments. And most of the time, it's not even real. It's staged. And then we compare ourselves to other people's fake best moment. And we think, man, I'm not having that fun. I'm not in as pretty of a place. I don't have that look. I don't have that feel. I didn't make that team. And we live in a state of comparison to other people. And comparison kills, and comparison is crippling. And, you know, one study that we saw says 12% of our daily thoughts are spent in some form of comparison. And we're comparing ourselves to other people, then we're not living in who God created us to be. And it's also going to steal our joy. And so I think what happens when we're able to be honest and share the highs and the lows, to share the strengths and the weaknesses, we're not just living in the state of comparison of other people's fake best day, but the reality of what we're going through and the journey that we're on.
Tim, you mentioned Christianity, and you've been, especially in the early parts of your career, you were in the media a lot for having the biblical verses on your eye black and Tebowing, you know, kneeling and praying. You were never scared of your faith. For some odd reason, the media always needed to take that and create sensation about that, where that should be something that we should all be doing. It's not something that's unique to you, but you had a public platform. And then, Demi, you are also outspoken. You had a different kind of platform, completely different worlds. But you also had the opportunity to speak out, help people, but you were always there announcing your Christianity, your faith, and that you put your trust in God. Is it difficult sometimes when you do get these situations where people don't always understand the influence that their platforms have to impact lives in a positive way?
Well, I think for me, I'm a people pleaser by nature, Jacques, so I'm the baby of five, and I always wanted to like please my parents and my siblings, and I want people to like me, and I want to be friends with people. And I think it impacted me so much at times that by wanting to please people or be liked or be friends with people, sometimes you can also mess up because you're changing to please people. And I had to try to work really hard to try to want to please God first and not worry as much about what people say about me. And sometimes I still really have to work on that and fall short with it, because it's so easy for me to want to please people. And I think that's been a real shortcoming for me that I still work on to this day, that what is it that I'm really trying to do? And who am I really trying to please? And am I really trying to appease and appeal to and you have more people like me, or am I trying to stand for what's right? And I know that's been something that I've failed at many times.
You know, Jacques, I think there's been many moments where you step on a stage and all the attention is kind of, you know, aimed and geared towards you. And really in a lot of those moments where I have felt like the biggest failure because I was pointing people to myself instead of to the only perfect person that's ever walked this land, and his name is Jesus. By no means have I ever been courageous or bold enough to always take a stance. I've definitely failed so many times over and over, but actually there's such a relief that comes when you try to point people to Jesus instead of to yourself, because you know that he will never let them down. But I am probably...
We will, but you won't. So this, there's a freedom in that.
Well, you two are so cute together. And I mean, I've been lucky enough to know you guys for quite a while from the wedding and being friends and that kind of thing. But Demi, you're from South Africa. Tim's from the US. It's miles apart. I think you have different ways of looking at life. What's the biggest thing you've learned from each other when it comes to faith and your own religion?
I think something that I have learned, I feel like as South Africans, we can be pretty reserved and kind of keep to ourselves. And, you know, when you met animators to soccer and Mengni. But when I moved to the US, Jock, for the first time in my life, somebody, a stranger, somebody that I didn't have a deep rooted friendship with, asked me in a very genuine way, you know, Demi, how can I, it's so nice to meet you, how can I be praying for you? And that was something that really changed such a big part of the outlook of my life. And Tim has inspired that, the way that he has taught me to reach out to people that I wouldn't necessarily otherwise have felt comfortable reaching out to, kind of pushing me out of my comfort zone in a bit. And that's been something that I have loved learning and loved embracing. And I also think something that we really stick to is if you do ask somebody, hey, how can I be praying for you, to actually make sure that you do it right there and then.
Yeah, because one of the things that sometimes, you know, people will ask us when we get to meet them, you know, hey, will you pray for us? Or will you, you know, and, you know, we will say yes, but, you know, life gets busy and gets in the way. And there's been some times where I've forgotten. And so what we do is we'll literally, when they're telling us in that moment, try to stop and pray for them just quietly in our heads in that moment, so that you can follow through on what you've said, because it's such an important thing. But getting back to your question, there's so much that I've learned from Demi in so many ways, and learned from his awesome country of South Africa. And it's not just the awesome culture, the amazing people, but I think it's also the way that they implement time and family and make it a priority. And so many times they will brag about it just because of the braai and the time, but it's a priority. And sometimes we say things are priorities, right? Like we, you know, oh, you know, our faith and family and priorities. But one of the things that I just noticed is the time and making a priority, and the time, putting the phones down and being around the fire with the braai, and while the durivorce and bullivorce and everything else, and we're making it all. It's not just about the meal and the amazing food. And I will say, I think South Africa has the best food on the planet. We've been to a lot of countries. Just being able to see the things that they say are priorities being lived out as priorities. And I think that's something that a lot of countries could look at and emulate. And America being one of them, because so many times it's easy for us to say our family's a priority, and yet we spend 30 minutes, yet the braai is here 6 hours.
What advice would you guys give to specifically Christian marriages? We mentioned there's so much going on in the world, stress at work, financial struggles are real, kids all over the place that's got to go netball, rugby, music, everywhere. There's so much going on. As Christian couples, it's supposed to be better or easier than worldly couples, you know, but life is real. So what advice could you give to Christian couples married that's going through dark and tough times?
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't know that it's ever been promised that it'll be easier, because life's not easy, but we are promised certain things in the midst of it. A different peace, a different joy. Not that it's easy, because there's hardship, there's suffering, there's issues, there's problems. But even in the midst of it, we get to have an unshakable hope in it. And I would just encourage couples, as we're working and failing in it, to try to make the marriage and the family based around things that are truth, things that are God's promises. So let it be based around God's word, spending time together, spending time as a family, spending time in his word, spending time doing things that truly matter, that have significance and importance. I'm so fortunate to have two parents that are heroes to me, not just because what they told me, because what they showed me, getting able to grow up on the mission field in the Philippines and see them love people that could never do anything for them. That had such an impact on me to be able to watch that, to be able to see them live out generosity and kindness and love and choose so many people's best interests and act on their behalf. And I just encourage families to have those times of ministry. Maybe it's just helping one person. Maybe it's cooking them dinner. Maybe, but doing it as a family so that your family, your boys and girls get to see you live out what you say you believe, and you get to, and there's something that happens inside of us when we do that. It's contagious. And when you're around that, you want to do more and you want to be around it even more. And there's something contagious. And so I just encourage them, even whether it's out of a lot or if it's out of a little, to make those significant, important decisions to invest in things that truly matter and do it as a family, because the fulfillment and the joy that you get from it is, I believe, many times second to none.
We're only 5 years in, so we definitely...
You're a lot to learn.
But you guys have also just broken the news. You've been blessed with a beautiful little bundle of joy, and congratulations. I guess, you know, there were certain things that you wanted to make sure were set in your lives before you welcomed a third part to the Tebow family. But congratulations.
After the dogs.
After the dogs, right. Also yes. Your children, exactly. After you guys got the news, what's the impact been on your lives?
Well, it's changed a lot of plans, that's for sure. We've tried to clear a lot of the schedule for the summer, for our summer in the States. And it's just been so exciting, such a blessing. Just something to look forward to, but also to prepare for. And then I think the challenge and responsibility of being a father and a mother, and that role and the honor that it is, but also the responsibility. So to try to just try to be prepared to be the best mom and dad we can.
I think right now we know that if we don't know anything, then that we need a lot of advice.
We're getting so much advice from so many people. So.
And we're so grateful. But I think something that we're trying to focus on is just having good communication and good conversations, talking through topics, you know, how would we handle different things, and making sure first and foremost that we are a strong team. And I think that's something that we've been focused on the last 5 years. It's just really having a deep-rooted friendship first and foremost. And I think it's something that we'd like to continue to focus on even through entering parenthood.
Talking about a baby, you wrote a children's book recently, Demi, and it looks so cute. I can't wait to get my hands on it for my little girl. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited. My children's book is called Princess Paris Finds Her Purpose, and it is based on our little Princess Paris, which is our Dalmatian, and she really lives up to the name of being a princess. She pretty much runs the household.
She does.
But after I wrote my book, A Crown That Lasts, I wanted to find a way to share the message of A Crown That Lasts with our nieces, with our goddaughter. And I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I share this big concept of purpose, of identity, with a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old? And that's where Princess Paris, the idea was born. I actually finished writing this book last year already, long before we knew we were going to be parents. And to know that we'll get to share this message with our own little baby is just even more special and meaningful. Of course, South Africa is such a big part of this book. Princess Paris goes on an amazing adventure, a safari, and she meets all of the animals and the animal kingdom. But on the end of the day, she loses something that she thought made her valuable, and that was her crown. And she's faced with so many questions of, you know, this thing that made me worthy, that gave me value, that gave me authority, is now gone. And who am I without this? And I won't give away the end of the story, but my hope and my prayer for Princess Paris Plan to Purpose is that this book will really be a conversation starter between parents and their children on where true worth and value really originates from, and that in our Maker's eyes, we are seen as His royalty. We are seen as His image bearers, and that is where our identity ought to be.
I really can't wait to read it.
So, Dems, are you now classified as a full-blown author?
Best-selling author. Let's go. Come on.
Because I was laughing at your Instagram with the first book. I know you put a story up where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You go and sit in your little chair and you still got your like morning robe on and the hair is tied in like a messy bun. And now I need to sit there and I need to write something and I don't know what to write about. But the book was amazing. We got copies. Thank you so much for that. Is this something that you enjoyed doing? And are we going to see some more Demi Lee Tebow books in the future?
You know, George.
Yes, we need to. I'm crying for it because
Daddy wants to retire.
She's so good at it. And just to get back to so many people. So I'm a fan and supporter.
You know, Jock, I think you carry now my Afrikaans teacher. Hope she's very proud. And all those opstellen that I've been writing all throughout high school is finally coming, you know, into fruition and adding value, hopefully a little bit. But I've loved writing. I've loved the process. And I hope to continue doing so.
So, guys, Passion coming up this Friday at Laughters. And we are so excited going to worship events. I know how powerful it is when we get together and worship together. So we can't wait to have you guys there. What will your role be at Passion 2025?
You know, Passion is set up to be open to people of all ages, and we are so, so excited. Passion has been, they've been so intentional with setting this up for a way for all churches to come together, to come and worship Friday night, Saturday night in Cape Town as well. And, you know, Pastor Louis actually officiated our wedding right here outside of Cape Town, and he's somebody that's so just inspiring, such a just motivational to us that we have looked up to for such a long time. So to be able to come and worship alongside him, alongside the Church of South Africa, is something that we're just so excited about.
And Demi's going to get the chance to share, and I'm going to get the chance to share. I
really want to hear him.
No. And Pastor Louis and the Passion Band and team. And I just can't wait to hear 40,000 people singing and praising together. And there really is something special when we do come together. And sometimes we throw that around as a catchphrase, but we really come, we fill up a stadium for something more important than a game. Mm-hmm. And we remember and we focus on what matters. We focus on each other. We focus on the greatest gift of all time. And that's the finished work of Jesus. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here with Demi. I'm so excited to be here with Passion and Louis and the whole team and the amazing people of South Africa. It's going to be really special.
So if there's people listening right now and they're like, oh, I don't know if I should go, I don't know if I should cancel my bride plans, what would you say to them?
I would say you can have your bride next week and the next week and the next week, but
I'll be bride every day of the
week. I know, right?
Yeah, but
but I think it's something that's unique and rare and doesn't happen often. And I think the memories, I think the how special it is from all the people coming together, I think we're just praying God does something really special in our hearts and in the hearts of everyone that shows up and in this amazing country of South Africa.
Amen.
Well, guys, we look forward to seeing you guys at Passion, at Loftus, and then in Cape Town as well. I know every chance you get with your busy schedules, you guys try and get you. Demi needs to get to the family, and they're all over South Africa at the moment. But yes, she loves her family time. I know you do as well. Enjoy your time in South Africa. We can't wait to see you guys. Also, just so you know, Dems, you know Tani Hester has always been a massive fan of yours ever since the Miss SA days and the Miss Universe. She said, I just need to tell you one thing. She does not miss any of Tim's videos on YouTube, especially when he is just talking from the heart and she just loves him. So I think she loves Tim a little bit more than she loves you at the moment.
So are you related to Dricus at all?
Does he look like
no.
it?
Yeah, definitely.
No. I'm busy shedding some weight, so I won't get into the cage soon, but no.
He's doing well, though. He's doing well.
Not yet. Guys, thank you so much for your time. When are you buying a nice little parcel of land in South Africa, Tim?
I like it.
I know you guys will probably tend to go down Garden Route, Cape Town Wine Farm or something, but I honestly think maybe a nice game farm would be nice.
We love the garden route. That's a good place.
Thank you so much, guys. We love chatting to you.
Kuier Maandag tot Vrydag saam Dopie en Nina 3 tot 6 net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.